Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I'm Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is my co-host here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu and Jamie Jors. We're joined, as always, by John Rahor of our fan blog, Eat More Cheese, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight will be Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette, the world's number one Baijiu fan, Mr. Rob Domofsky. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
400 yards. A bunch of touchdowns, both running and passing. What can you say? He's the man.
Jordy Nelson.
He of the new contract.
Charles Woodson.
Pick sixes. It's his business.
And we got the bad. We got the D.
All I can say is, please see the ugly.
And we got the ugly. We got the D.
Seriously, people. Seriously.
4-0,
baby. 4-0. How are you tonight, Corey?
I'm good. I just blew out somebody's speakers.
That's awesome. Because you know why? The Packers are 4-0.
Yes, they are.
Perfection. One of only two teams in the NFL to be 4-0. Corey Banky, can you name the other team?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Oh, wait.
Who is it, Corey?
I don't care.
Oh, that's another correct
answer.
All
I care about is the Packers. See this right here?
No, I don't. What is that?
Those are my throwback weekend tickets.
Holla.
Lambeau.
So, yes, the Packers coming off a shellacking of the Denver Broncos. And, no, there is no other word for it. A shellacking.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously, people. Seriously. I mean,
oh my goodness.
They put up 49 points and they probably could have put up more.
And they got to practice a lot of screens.
They got to practice a whole bunch of stuff on offense.
They just got to have like basically training camp against the Denver Broncos.
They need a whole lot of help on defense though. I mean, seriously. Okay, here we go. Let's break this down. They're 4-0. And quite simply, they are better than everybody else in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a question.
Without getting cocky, overstating.
No, I'm just okay, I would say I'm just stating facts, but you know, facts would say that only the Detroit Lions are as good as the Green Bay Packers. Because both teams are 4-0. I will point out the Packers have not fallen behind by 20 points in any of their games.
No, I'm not feeling that.
Unlike the Detroit Lions, who have fallen behind by 20 the last two games, and needed, in this last game, Tony Romo to completely self-destruct to gift them a game. So I'm just putting that out there. But 4-0, perfection, 4-0. prompting this very small, interesting line from Mike Freeman, CBS Sports, friend of the show, great guy.
Who I haven't met.
You haven't met Mike yet.
No.
But he's fantastic.
I should have at the Super Bowl. I don't know why I didn't.
He wrote a little blurb for CBS Sports this afternoon. It was 10 things. He called it his 10-point stance, which is kind of freaky if you think about it. But in the 10-point stance, point number 10 was that there are some people in the NFL, and this is Mike saying this, there are some people in the NFL who feel the Packers have a greater chance to run the table than the Patriots did in 2007.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
When the Patriots obviously got to the Super Bowl.
I like talk like that.
And lost to the New York Giants.
No, don't stop.
Look at that. Throwback weekend with a Cheesehead TV football.
I love. That's how high-tech we are.
Come
Corey
on.
Corey just throws his phone in front of the camera. No pre-designed graphic to just like take over the screen. No.
Just,
Corey will just throw his phone up in front of the
camera. It just happened live.
It's organic. I love it.
Kevin Cushing, throwback weekend. Come on now.
Throwback weekend. Hey, let's get through a pretty big Atlanta game. before we start talking about throwback weekend.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I'm not looking past Atlanta. Excuse me. I was in Atlanta on the front row the last time we played Atlanta. Oh, and I remember Tremont got a pick six.
Tremont, he called you his road dog last week.
I'm feeling that.
His road dog, Corey Behnke.
I'm a good techie to have around. There's no doubt about it.
So the Packers are 4-0. Some people in the NFL think they're going to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. Life is great. And then Brett Favre talks.
Oh, my goodness.
Favre, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you under a rock.
Who is that?
Not near the internet for the past 24 hours.
Man. I should have got my trader video loaded up.
You should have got your trader. Anybody on YouTube can go to Cheesehead TV's channel and look at Corey's trader video very easily. Brett Favre.
I almost tweeted that.
Coming out saying that Aaron Rodgers, quote, fell into a good situation in 2008. And that he, quote, was surprised that Aaron didn't win a Super Bowl sooner.
And that the team he has is better than any team he had post like 97.
You know, I got to agree with him on that one. Here we go. Let's get
down
to it. Let's get down to it, Banky.
At 4-0 is not a bad time.
No,
this far out to talk about the legacy of Mike Sherman.
The legacy of Mike Sherman?
I mean, that's who gave him those teams versus Ted Thompson.
That's very true. And he didn't want to shut up and just do what Ted said when he was here. If he had, who knows? Also, if he had, who knows? If he hadn't thrown a freaking interception in overtime against the Giants, who knows, Brett? But see, that's the duality, and that's the thing to me, is that Brett can tell the truth, and I know people will say it was a backhanded compliment and blah, 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 but he can just tell the truth. Now, let's just say, and I know no one will think this or believe it or whatever, but let's just say that Brett was seriously just telling the truth that Aaron fell into a good situation. If you don't think Aaron Rodgers, talent-wise, on offense, the people around him, the coaching staff in place, didn't fall into a good situation, I'm sorry, you're just blind.
No.
And just Favre-hating. Now.
It's true.
Brett Favre saying he's surprised Aaron didn't do it sooner. That could be one of two things. That could be, well, I'm kind of joking around. He's really talented. They've got a really good team. I'm just surprised it didn't happen sooner. But we all know that's not what he meant.
No.
What's funny is that he did it the same time Brett did it.
Ouch.
I mean,
well,
if you look at their career trajectories.
And this year, if he does it again, knock on wood.
So long, Brett. Think about this. Think about
dude,
this. Now,
Brett
here's the other
Favre.
Wait. Before we... Okay. I got to get this out. Because I've been attacked.
In the land of conjecture.
I've been attacked all week. I've been attacked about my defending of Favre, which I wasn't really doing. I'm just pointing out the man was telling the truth about certain things. Now, you can hate Brett Favre. That's great. I totally get that. I've been there, done that. I'm over it.
I don't.
You hold on to it. You want to hate the man? That's great. That's your prerogative as a sports fan, as a fan of the Packers, as a fan of the greatest team on earth. That is totally, I dig that. But don't tell me that Brett Favre never did anything for the Packers, gave up on the Packers because he went to the Vikings, blah, 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 blah. Just stop.
Yeah, that's,
stop embarrassing yourself, all right?
But I don't want to say like, but hey, Aaron Rodgers, he could be competing with Bart. That leaves Favre at 3.
Absolutely, he could be competing with Bart. I mean, think about this. He wins a championship either this year or down the road. Got a couple under his belt. Obviously, that notches him above Favre. What if Ron Wolf, Mike Holmgren, and Brett Favre, think about that trio. Think about how insanely important they are The history of the Green Bay Packers, to where the Packers find themselves
modern,
now.
Modern day.
But think about it. Think about how important that trio is.
Totally.
What if that trio was just the opening act? What if?
I like that. I like that scenario.
What if those three were the guys who came in and poured the concrete? They were great. They resuscitated a devastatedly bad franchise. They were wonderful. And we wouldn't have the team we have in front of us today without them.
Yes.
But what if they were just the beginning? Just the guys who came in, poured the concrete, laid the foundation, then took off while this new group came in and built the freaking skyscraper. Obviously, we got to let it play out. We'll never know until it happens, but that could be insanely ridiculous.
I like that. I don't like that Vic Ketchman has an office on the third floor, but other than that, I like that.
You always got to go back to Vic Ketchman.
I'm with you.
I spent all week defending Brett Favre and defending Vic Ketchman. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it.
Oh, man.
I'm defending people out.
You're good at that, though.
No, I guess. Well, let's get back. Let's come back from the clouds. Come back from, dreamland. Come back to reality. Yeah. Come back to the brass tacks. Talk about our Packers that are on the field today, on the practice field. We got Zombo back in the mix.
There you go. Needed.
After breaking his scapula.
Needed.
Preseason. Yeah, needed. Yeah, that was somebody on Cheesehead TV today in the comments section wrote that Walden wasn't doing anything. It was a great disappointment and it was totally invisible. Now, I understand disappointment with Walden because he hasn't he doesn't exactly light it up in the sacks category. But he set a mean edge in the running game.
Hey, I'm just saying you need in a 3-4, you need linebackers in the mix, so put them in the mix.
As many as you can get. I agree with that.
That's all.
I totally agree with
that. I actually have no complaints. I mean, I know people nitpick, but it's like people don't see the big picture of a game. They really don't. They don't really understand that, like, the first quarter is a test.
Oh, dude, your tweet on Sunday morning
goodness.
Sunday afternoon was fantastic. Because I think that all the time. Like, the first quarter comes, and it plays out, and everyone freaks out. We saw that the first quarter of the Carolina game. Everybody, Greg Jennings is terrible. Why is he tweeting so much about his website and his T-shirts? And, Randall Cobb fumbles. Oh, I'm glad he's worried about his logo and la, 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 la. The first quarter is not the game, people.
Yeah. People I mean, just don't get
all
me wrong.
Over these guys.
Don't get me wrong. There's a flip side to that. Like, I'm up for third down throughout the game on defense, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Lambeau sometimes suffers that in the first and second quarter because everybody's like, who cares? Because who hasn't been to Lambeau Field and seen the heart attack pack on a ESPN night or a playoff game where we're playing the Vikings or the Bears?
Dude, you're out there. You're out there right now. I don't know where you're going, Corey. Come back to us.
And then they play Detroit, same game, fourth quarter, and they come back and win it. I mean, it doesn't even matter until the fourth quarter.
Well,
it really
doesn't.
That.
But that's not the only
for
time
the Packers,
to like, be into them.
For the Packers.
Look, the heart attack pack. I hear you.
For the Packers.
For the Packers, they are 4-0 in the first quarter of their season. First quarter of the season is 4-0. Quarter, bowl, tent, check. 4-0. Another guy who came back today at practice, Ryan Grant.
Oh, so many weapons.
This made me think of this. Ryan Grant back.
So many weapons.
Didn't play in either Atlanta game last year. JerMichael Finley.
That's a good point.
JerMichael Finley didn't play in either Atlanta game last year. Two offensive weapons that could truly help. Because what's interesting is in the first Atlanta game, they couldn't really run the ball a lick. I mean, they were pretty terrible, actually. In the playoff game, they ran much better with Starks behind Rodgers. But you split those carries up, you could do some real damage. But what's interesting to me is JerMichael Finley, in his comments this week about not getting the ball and yada, 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 Mike McCarthy kind of addressed that in his press conference where he said, JMX just got to be patient. Those opportunities will come. And I agree. But what's fantastic about that is, like, okay, you know what they just put on tape this past week? That, yes, you can choose to double JerMichael Finley and say, JerMichael Finley's not going to beat us. That's great. Defensive coordinators around the league, please do that. And then I will direct you to the tape of Greg Jennings running through the Denver Broncos defense completely unmolested for a touchdown. He was so open, he literally just could not believe it as he turned to the crowd, turned around to his teammates, and was like, really? They just let me run into the end zone so Rodgers could throw me the ball? And if you look at that play, who is split wide? Who is split wide to Jennings' right side? Way, way wide on the right side. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's JerMichael Finley. And Rodgers said every time they split out Finley in that game, the Broncos were determined. They put a corner, sometimes a linebacker, but usually a corner over the top of him, and then, or like man up on him on the line, and then they had a safety over the top. Well, that safety over the top opened up the middle.
Totally.
Opened up the middle up the seam.
Totally.
For Jennings.
And
to get the touchdown.
Just because they're scared of the moron color analysis for the broadcast going, I can't believe they're that stupid that they don't cover JerMichael Finley.
Yep. Well, because
so the coach's game plan for it. Okay, so I'm going to cover JerMichael. I'm going to double him. I'm going to always look at him. And look at the weapons.
There are so many weapons. Now, here's the question for you, Corey. I know my answer, but I want to get your take first as a true diehard Green Bay Packers fan, because this is kind of a hot-button issue this week. Mm-hmm. After JerMichael said what he said, and then Mike and Aaron have had their say, do the Packers, you know, we saw just this past week, they've signed Jordy Nelson. They've extended his contract. They've extended
amazingly.
Sitton, that's good. And they've extended, you know, bunch of guys.
I like it.
Do they have to? Do they? Will they? When they?
Yes.
Will
yes,
they?
Yes.
Do they have to?
Yes and yes.
JerMichael Finley.
Yes. Right here. See these tickets? I'm going to Throwback Weekend.
That
by
doesn't make
way,
any sense, Corey. You're going to Throwback Weekend. Stop rubbing it in my face. Do they have to sign JerMichael Finley?
Yes.
They have to.
Yes.
Even though they won a Super Bowl without him.
Yes.
Sir, I say you are mad. They have to sign JerMichael Finley.
Come on.
Really?
Okay.
Come on. Come
listen,
on yourself.
The Green Bay Packers
wait, is
should
this
and need to be
oh dear
the New York Yankees of the NFL.
Oh gosh. Well, hey, that was Vince Lombardi's contention when he came to Green Bay.
What does it matter what it takes to look at this offense? Look at this offense right now. You just said it and then you're like, oh, do we need to sign JerMichael Finley? You answered your own question.
No, what are you talking about? Yes, that one play, or several plays. Yes, they doubled JerMichael. They took him away, and then they found, like, 14 other guys to throw the ball to. They went, here's my thing. If Ted Thompson looks at his salary structure.
Wait. You didn't say, will Ted Thompson. You said, should the Packers.
Who does the signing of contracts for the Packers? Who negotiates the deals? Russ Ball
Ted
Thompson.
Thompson is going to try to lowball. And basically make the argument you're going to make right now.
Exactly, because it's the right argument.
Yeah.
If JerMichael Finley,
but
if JerMichael Finley wants to be a Green Bay Packer,
Finley.
If JerMichael Finley wants to be a Green Bay Packer, he can be. If JerMichael Finley wants to be the highest paid tight end in the league, he can be. He cannot be both.
I don't know that that's
I'm
true.
Just saying.
I don't know that, that's true.
Corey, I just pulled out, I'm just saying.
I can't get on that bus. Just get on the Finley
they
bus.
They won a Super Bowl
Come
without
on.
The guy.
Yeah.
He's a monster weapon. But
monster
they don't
weapon.
Need him.
Mm.
He's an incredible weapon. They don't need
that's like,
him.
That's like saying you don't need a predator drone. Okay? That's how I feel about that.
I love J. Mike. He used to be a huge friend of this show until he got really big and never called us back. And because now he's on Jim Rome, he's on ESPN, he's on like whatever. He's huge now. He doesn't
hate us, dude.
He hates us. They come in, they're little guppies. Yeah. They come in, they're like, oh, Cheesehead TV is great. Then they blow up, they're huge stars. They don't need us anymore.
No, they just don't even, we're not even on their radar. It's like, it's unfeeling.
It's like, speaking of not on a radar, ladies and gentlemen, some of you may have noticed earlier today and yesterday, Josh Sitton had told us that maybe he'd be calling in tonight. It sure would seem that the answer is no, he's not calling in tonight. So, no. Josh, if you're out there, buddy, totally understand. You're a busy guy. I know what it's like, man. I'm a busy guy myself. Probably with different things, but I'm busy. So I know. It's all good, man. It's all good. But Jermichael Finley, you got to say, look, these are all our guys. This is what we're paying him. If you want to slot yourself in there, we're going to pay you. I'm not saying don't pay the guy. Make him a top five tight end. Like, give him, like,
top
you know,
three.
Gates.
Top three.
Davis. Lewis money.
Can't they just franchise him, or they can't in that first year, right?
No, no, no. They could franchise him. That's a very real possibility.
Do that.
That's a very real possibility.
That's why you have those players.
Yeah.
That's the whole way it was structured. Oh, I got the guy. Now I have the guy in the midterm. I don't have to just forfeit him because the Yankees are calling, or in this case.
Oh, wait. I thought you said we are the Yankees.
We are the Yankees.
We're going to be.
There's a lot of teams that will pay Jermichael Finley a lot of money.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Someone will pay him a lot.
Marshall Newhouse.
So here's my... Love me some, love me so much. You're just trying to get off the J-Mike thing. You're just trying to get off the J-Mike thing. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
I know.
But I love me some Marshall Newhouse.
Everybody was hating on him.
Who was hating on Marshall Newhouse?
On Twitter.
What? When? During the game?
I guess what I think is hate, a lot of people would just see as concern or criticism.
People, I'm here to tell you, if you're hating on Marshall Newhouse, you need to learn football. I'm sorry. He gave up two sacks, one of which was on a screen that Rodgers pulled down. Like, the guy was covered on the screen, so Rodgers pulled the ball down. Hello? Newhouse did his job. The other one Rodgers almost got out of, but, you know, he tripped him. But he gave up a sack. He gave up two sacks, one of which was a screen, blah, blah, blah. Newhouse did a great job. Von Miller is a beast.
Well,
there's a reason he was taken in the top five of the freaking draft, people.
And I mean, I just feel like if you're 4-0 and you're learning lessons, you're growing, you're winning, and you have this group of guys and they're gelling together, like they make mistakes, yeah, but it's like
absolutely
one dude makes a mistake on a 4-0 team. If he makes it 4 or 5 times, I mean, it's like the whole James Jones drop thing for Packer fans, you know?
Yep.
I believe in James Jones, but there's a lot of Packer fans who that's their, like, instinct, you know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The perception's in their
mind. Absolutely. Well, you know, like, our good friend Jay on the live blog makes a great point. Marshall Newhouse drafted in the 5th round. The 5th round.
Wow.
Second-year player drafted in the 5th round last year.
Starting.
Against the second overall pick in this year's draft.
Starting for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. And playing well. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's going to get beat by Von Miller. You know who else also has gotten beat by Von Miller? Almost everybody he's faced in the NFL. So just relax.
I mean,
Marshall Newhouse had a very good game.
There is a point to be made that the execution of this offense allows the offensive line to gel together and not have to be responsible for a lot of stuff. Because if they're dinking and dunking,
yes,
they have more leeway. Like, they still have to pick up blitzes. They still have to. It's not all on them on 5 and 7 step drops.
5 and 7 step drops. Exactly. All right. Speaking of 5 and 7 step drops, we need to take a drop ourselves.
Nice.
And
I like that catch.
It was pretty awful. But anyway, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Rob Bajudomovsky from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Give us all the lowdown. The latest happenings at 1265 Lombardi. So stick around. You're watching Packer Transplants here at CheeseheadTV.com. How are you tonight, Rob?
How are you guys doing?
You know, we're hanging in there. We're debating JerMichael Finley. Corey thinks they have to re-sign him. I think they don't have to. What's your take on J. Mike there?
I would lean with Corey. I think they have to.
Yeah.
Just too talented. I mean, 6'5", 240, can run like the wind. I don't think guys like that come around very often. Now, I realize they've got a ton of playmakers, especially re-signing Nelson and Cobb. I think Cobb's going to be really good. I don't know that Corliss would ever take the next step. I still don't know enough about DJ Williams, although he had a great college career. So I still think that if you don't re-sign him, you're taking away a huge.
Oh.
Oh no.
We lost Rob.
And Nelson.
All right, you're taking away a huge playmaker. I understand that. But what if the choice is, what if you sign Finley and then you lose Scott Wells?
Well, if it's an either or, then you have a problem. I'm not convinced that it is, though. I think Wells would come back at a pretty reasonable price for one more deal. I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy who, two years ago, was it, that he was, you know, he was replaced. I guess that was the start of 09, right?
Erroneously, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally erroneously. With a guy who's basically, you know, just barely hanging on in the league now. So, and, you know, the thing, what happened was, what they went wrong, I guess, is they thought Nick McDonald was going to be the next Scott Wells, and he just never developed. So they have a problem at center, I think. I think they don't have the next center on their roster, so they're probably going to have to re-sign Wells.
Right. I mean, yeah, I totally agree, because you're not going to let Evan Dietrich Smith do the job.
No, he's just a Philly guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at this Atlanta game, I mean, it's hard to see how there's going to be much, you know. I mean, I know they played twice last year, and
Right. Obviously
the first game was close. The Packers turned the ball over a couple times in the red zone, down by, you know, came away with no points. But if they hadn't done that, they probably won that game.
The face mask, remember? Matt Wilhelm?
Yes.
At, right after the Jordy Nelson touchdown that tied it, they get that return right up the middle, and Matt Wilhelm has to – I mean, he had to basically, if he didn't grab his face mask.
I was
the
just
going to
say, if he doesn't do that, it's a touchdown.
So I'm not putting it on Wilhelm necessarily, but that was what everyone remembers about the play. That was, you know, Sean Slocum's units at its probably worst. So, that was a huge – play in that game, and but that was a great game. I mean, that was a truly fantastic game.
I think they played two great games, probably because I love the Packers.
Yeah, that might have been the emergence of, you know, Jordy Nelson right there. Yes. Rodgers really started to hit a stride, although, gosh, I'm surprised he didn't do it sooner, but no, I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
Well done, sir.
You're so funny.
We'll get there later. We'll get there. Slow down, Rob. Slow down.
Okay, I'm excited, though, about that.
I'm sure you are.
Uh-oh.
But it's interesting that you talk about Jordy, because last night I was up late watching both games, both the regular season game and the playoff game, and I tweeted out, I think Jordy's in for a monster game on Sunday. I think he matches up really well. And you saw how the Broncos, you know, if they wanted to focus on JerMichael Finley, who didn't play in either of these Atlanta games last year, I mean, if they want to, like, double up, say they want to double a safety on both JerMichael Finley and Greg Jennings, well, Jordy Nelson already had huge games against them, you know, last year. This year, it's just going to be ridiculous.
And I'm surprised, you know, really, when you think about Atlanta's offseason, that they didn't address their defensive secondary and do more, do anything, really, to help that situation. Because, quite frankly, they were, you know, their defense just was what let them down last year. I mean, I know adding Julio Jones is a great, potentially great move, but it sure didn't help your defense any. So I think Nelson is a huge matchup problem now that he and Rodgers appear to have this connection that maybe it was developed over time. The other thing, too, about Nelson that I've noticed, and I think the coaches notice, is that he's catching the ball. He's plucking the ball now, rather than, you know, taking it in here. And I say that, and, you know, he'll probably have three drops. Because those guys get, you know, you start talking about that with those guys, and they get really angry. I remember doing a story on Jennings last year at some point about how he hadn't dropped it, and then, oh, what game was it? A road game? Might have been the Washington game.
Detroit. Wasn't it Detroit? Where he had the big bomb and he dropped
it? That's right. That's right. It was Detroit. That's what it was. Yeah, it was the bomb. How could I forget that play? And he, you know, of course, blamed it on me, which, you know, that's reasonable, right?
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense.
But I do think Nelson's really, his hands are so much better. I don't think he has a drop this season, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct. And what's interesting is that his rookie year, he dropped, I think maybe one, but he dropped either no passes or one pass. And then, like, the last 2 years, he's had a bunch of drops. And then this year, he's just been unconscious. So...
Yeah,
it definitely seems like he's playing lights out. He's got the new contract. It's great. Yeah. But you want to talk about your old golfing buddy, Brett Favre. So let's go there. As someone,
well, I'll say this.
Yeah,
I missed we missed a huge opportunity on the insiders to play off of that today. We didn't use it, which we should have, and I'm kicking myself for it. We should have gotten Pelissero on and had him talk about how, you know, Kareem walked into a great situation. And
perfect. Yeah. And, I can't believe you didn't.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that was my jerk store moment, you know, where I thought of it after.
I was about to say, aren't you the head writer?
Yeah,
but, you know, it was. I still think we came up with something good about your boy Jermichael, actually. But anyway, you know, I will not defend Favre. Trust me, I'm not.
Wait. Before you say anything on the matter, I just want to point out to people who may not know, you've been on the beat for a long time, and so you know, hang out at Favre's house maybe, but you know Brett.
No,
you've talked to Brett.
No.
For a long time. You know his entire public persona. So, you know, Rob talks about Brett Favre. There's a history there. He's got, you know, a real familiarity, whereas a lot of the national guys are just, like, throwing darts. But I just want to make sure people realize
This is coming from. Yeah, thanks. I didn't have the Chris Hovel relationship.
You see,
I knew Chris Hovel was going to come into this somehow.
I feel like I was objectively close to him, if that's possible. But first of all, it surprised me that he even did an interview. I mean, I don't understand what he really has to gain by doing interviews at this point. Now, I know it was with the guy who he did that Southern Miss broadcast with, and I'm sure the guy said, hey, would you mind coming on my show? And one thing you have to know about Brett is if you get him, if you actually get him, he can't say no. He will not say no to anybody.
Right.
I don't want to say he's too nice a guy because that's not an accurate portrayal, but he will do it. If you stop Favre in the hallway, you know, when he was still playing here, and said, hey, you know, Brett, can I ask you a couple questions? He never said no, at least not to me. And I think he was pretty fair with his time. And the players aren't like that anymore. That's just not the way it works anymore. But anyway, I was certainly surprised that he even is bothering to do interviews and you know, I just don't get what he has to gain by even bringing up, you know, or talking about the Packers or talking about Rodgers. I really thought that maybe he was on his way to mending fences and you know, just trying to get himself back in the good graces of the organization and fans and Wisconsin and all over. But he certainly took a step backwards if that was his
Yeah, I don't think that's ever.
I really wish Rodgers would have been more. And I understand he handled it today. Just I'm not going to get into it. But I kind of wish Rodgers would have just taken a shot at him. That would have made it a little more fun. Clay Matthews apparently did. I listened to the Jim Rome is Burning interview with Matthews today, and Matthews definitely let Favre have it a little bit.
What
you know,
did he
at least
say?
More than
I know Greg Jennings addressed it a little bit on NFL Network today, but I didn't hear.
Yeah.
What
Matthews said, I'm going to have to paraphrase here, but he said basically that, you know, Aaron may not let on that it bothers him, but you'll see it in his play, and he'll come out even more motivated than ever before, and, you know, just it'll fire him up. And he said, Matthews called it a backhanded compliment, which obviously it was. So to hear Matthews use the term backhanded compliment, that's as strong as anything I've heard, which is not that it's real strong, but he did. You can read it. I listened to the interview and wrote it in the lead note today on that, so you can read that on PackersNews.com.
PackersNews.com. Over a million.
The source.
The source, baby. A million visitors during Super Bowl week, I
Come
heard.
Come on.
Some hotness right there.
The original.
All right, yeah. So let's get.
No, wait.
Oh, Corey's got to lay it down. Hold
Come on. It is.
With the bonus check, I bought that pumpkin.
There you go.
My bonus check from up there.
Nice. So wait. Let's talk about this Packers team that's on the field here, not some ancient history. Going into Atlanta, stretching out before looking at the road ahead. They're 4-0 at the quarter mark.
Right.
Where do they lose? Where do they lose on the schedule?
I'm going to pull the schedule out right now. I think there are, I think I counted this up the other day, there are, I believe, 4 games that they reasonably could lose. I mean, you could easily lose at Atlanta. Yeah. I'm not saying they will, but they could.
Yeah.
Certainly could lose at San Diego.
Right.
Certainly could lose at Detroit. And I probably included at Minnesota in there just because.
I agree.
I don't think it's very good, but just things could go crazy in there. You have a couple turnovers and you fall behind. Now, that said, they're probably not going to lose all those games. But they probably will lose a game that's just out of left field. Remember in 1997 they went to 0-10 Indianapolis and lost 41-38. So, I mean, Tampa certainly, is not going to be a gimme. I was pretty impressed with them the other night. I know they were playing the Colts, but that's the first chance I had to really watch them. At the Giants. That was the other one, at New York, at the Giants.
I could maybe see that, although I think they beat the Giants. But I totally agree. I think –
Yeah, it's they could. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's say worst case scenario, that puts you at, you lose those 4 games plus one you don't expect to, that puts you at 11-5. But I don't think they would lose all those games, although
they'll lose one of those 11. Unexpected games, and everyone will call for Mike McCarthy to be fired. So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, like they'll lose like at Kansas City or something like that. I wouldn't think they'd lose at home to St. Louis, but let's just say they did.
Come on, throwback weekend.
There's not good.
Any he lists the entire schedule, and then he's gonna come back to throwback weekend.
All right, but here's speaking of throwback weekend, noticed this? Have you noticed the Packers will only ever use their throwbacks on weeks they're supposed to, like, wipe somebody out?
Yeah, right. Like San Francisco
oh, and the Rams, really? Yeah. Like, I gotta say, I respect the Bears. Like, the Bears wear their throwbacks during Packer week.
Come on.
That's the way it should be.
Tampa Bay.
Wearing the creamsicles.
They wore it against the Packers, what was that, in 09, right?
Yeah, that's the way it should
be. The Josh Freeman debut.
But
yeah,
not the Packers. The Packers... To market conscience.
We play it safe here. That's what we do.
Exactly. Hey, it's working.
Whatever works.
Whatever works. So, Rob, what's wrong with the freaking defense? What's going on? Is it as simple as Nick Collins is out, Tremont Williams has been hurt, they're kind of like totally discombobulated in the secondary, it's kind of a repeat of 09? Or is it they get no pressure up front, and the guys are being asked to cover way too long?
Right. I think it's probably the latter, but I also think that – and the Tron Williams injury played a part in especially the Carolina game because you had to play Woodson against Steve Smith. And I love Woodson, what he's done, and he is still a very, very good player. But I went back and watched the tape from the game the other night, the Denver game, and he can't cover. I'm telling you, he cannot run with guys. It's even on cross, just simple crossing routes.
I was gonna say if he's playing outside, it's trouble.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, even some of those crossing routes, he was in the slot and he cannot run. I mean, his instincts are unbelievable. He still is going to make huge plays.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna write about this for later in the week. I'm gonna it's probably not gonna be a popular topic, but I charted all those plays and he does not run you know, like he used to. But he is an incredible playmaker, and I still would rather have him on my team than not have him. But I think that's an issue. And Tremont, they played, I don't know why, but Tremont played so much off coverage the other day.
Say, he played, I was looking at the game last night, and like, he was like 10 to 12 yards off on almost every single play where I got third and long.
On Friday we get to talk to the defensive assistants, and I want to ask Joe Witt about that because I'm sure there was some reasoning for it, but I don't exactly get it. But, you know, the Collins is a big issue because if you think about it, too, some of the big plays that they've given up, I mean, Pepper got smoked on a play or two in Carolina deep, and then Burnett, you know, bit on the play, the flea flicker, and he gave up the touchdown to Decker.
The Decker play is more concerning to me.
He got turned around. It was bad. He was just bad technique. I mean, he didn't play that well at all. So, I think it's I think it's all that. They're just not playing as well in the secondary, and I think it's every and Shields, of course, isn't playing very well either. And you know, I mean, he made a good interception the other day, but had that ball been thrown properly, that would have been a touchdown.
Well, and the thing with Shields, and I took a bit of heat for this earlier last week, he's just not physical in any way, like shape or sense of the word. Like from the jam on the line to the tackle to anywhere in between, it's just the guy is clearly shying away from contact. And I don't get it.
The jam, and I read your thing, you wrote the thing after the New Orleans game about his jam thing, and it was the same play as the Super Bowl. And then I stole your idea because it was so good and wrote about it later in the week.
It's all good.
but he's his jam techniques, that's where he gets into trouble. I mean, he's not good at that. I mean, even though Joe Witt said, "Oh, I'll put him in press coverage against anybody," I just don't see it. But his talent is incredible, and I think with, you know, he's a guy who, and I hate to use the lockout or whatever, but he's a guy who greatly needed.
I couldn't agree more.
An off-season program. Some guys didn't need it. I mean, T.J. Lang obviously didn't need it, but Sam Shields needed it badly.
Badly. And the other thing is, like, it's not even just like the football work he missed, but like the supervision. Like, you wonder about a guy who just disappeared down to Miami and wasn't heard from again
neck
until
tattoos.
neck tattoos, right? I'm definitely on board with that. And the thing about Morgan Burnett, that you mentioned the play, he gave up the flea flicker, and we're going to look at that later. Sure. It's like he's aggressive. I get that. I love it. You saw it, the big play in Chicago where he got the big pick where he came over from the hash mark. You got the interception. That's great. But the concerning thing is you look at that touchdown he gave up to Decker, and then you go back and look at the Carolina game where he gets burned off the line. I think it was to Shockey. It may have been to Olsen. I can't remember. It was a tight end.
I can't remember either.
But in both instances, it's someplace where he's matched one-on-one. And you look at – and you know Pepra's a liability back there. If they can get those safety – if an offense can get those safeties singled up, the Packers are going to have some issues.
Yeah, Pepra doesn't run well. We all know that. But he misses more tackles than I think he probably should. But I will say this: he is a smart guy who makes up for his, his lack of speed and strength, maybe with just his smarts. But that was great when you had Nick Collins back there.
Right.
But it's not as good when you've got Burnett back there. And I think Burnett's going to be really good. He's what did he play? Three or four?
He was hurt in the Detroit
game. He got hurt. The Detroit game, that was the fourth game. So he's played eight NFL games. Right. So, I mean, I guess I'm willing to cut the guy a little slack. I think he's going to be pretty good.
I can totally agree with that. All right. We're talking to Rob Domofsky. We're about to let him go. Mr. Green Bay Press Gazette himself. Rob, barring an injury to Aaron Rodgers, do the Packers win the Super Bowl?
I'm starting to think, I think they'll get there at this point. As I'm sure people remember, I did not pick them this year to go to the Super Bowl. I picked Atlanta.
Oh, dear.
Looks like a bad pick. of last year, I picked Dallas to win the Super Bowl. So.
Oh, goodness. Well, thank God you didn't pick the Packers then. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Yeah, I think at this, there's no reason to think that they shouldn't or won't get to the Super Bowl. And then once you get to the game, who knows? That's, who knows, anything can happen. But I don't see how all the teams I thought would be the great contenders, Philadelphia, Atlanta, I still wouldn't sleep on New Orleans.
No, absolutely not.
I think that'd be a really hard game.
I think that's the NFC championship.
I think Detroit is much improved, but I don't think Detroit is ready to be a Super Bowl team yet.
Totally
I just don't.
Agree. Totally.
I don't see. I think right now the team that would scare me the most on the path of the Super Bowl is still New Orleans.
Excellent. Totally agree. Love it when we agree. I don't know if you noticed, Rob, but I linked back to one of my old posts today. You have to go check it out.
I'll look at it.
Anti-Domofsky diatribes back in the day. We didn't know you then. We love you now. Thanks so much for coming on, man.
They do say to know me is to love me. So.
Rob, you're fantastic. We hope we see you at Throwback Weekend against the Rams.
Throwback.
Thanks so much for coming out, buddy.
Anytime, guys. I enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Rob Domofsky in the house. There he goes. Rob Domofsky. Seriously, Corey Banky used to curse Rob Domofsky's name. Back in 2007 when we first started Packer Transplants,
the first time I met Rob
as a podcast, Corey, we would be setting up and Corey would just be, did you read what Domofsky wrote today? Oh my God, what an idiot. Like, are you such an idiot?
It's
like,
true. Blah, blah, blah.
And now we love Rob.
I will say the first time I met Rob in person, I straight up told him everything.
Oh,
you
know, Well,
I confess.
And Rob had it was at the tweet up at the Titletown Brewery last training camp.
Yep.
When we said, we love you, Rob. And he said, that's not what Google says. It's a classic quote. Down in the annals of Cheesehead TV lore.
It's not what Google says.
It is not, most certainly. But there he was. There he is. Rob Domofsky, the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. If you're not, check it out every day. If you're a Packer fan, you're not checking it out. I don't know what you're doing.
I think it's time to take a break.
It is most definitely time to take a break. When we come back, who the hell knows what's going to happen, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be about the Packers. You don't want to miss it right here at CheeseheadTV.com. So how about it, Pack Nation? What should we talk about? Lots going on. 4-0, Green Bay Packers. How about this? How about Jordy Nelson? We've talked about a bit tonight, but how about Jordy Nelson pretty much taking the torch from Donald Driver? I think this week, I think that 50-yard touchdown pass was the official passing of the torch of the number two wide receiver spot on the Green Bay Packers from Donald Driver to Jordy Nelson. Now, I know Donald Driver will be listed as the number two probably for the entire year. I'm sorry, it's Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson. Those are your two wide receivers on the Green Bay Packers. And then there's everybody else. I love James Jones.
Yeah.
Obviously, I love Double D. And Randall Cobb has a bright future.
Oh, man.
But.
Randall Cobb.
It's ridiculous.
Randall Cobb.
Now, here's the thing about Jordy Nelson.
I don't know. Randall Cobb could be number three pretty fast.
Pretty fast. I totally agree. But here's the thing. When you look at Jordy Nelson and Rodgers' connection with him, it was interesting that Rob brought up their chemistry. Look at the plays against Denver, and he's done this throughout the year, but look at the plays against Denver where all they see is the corner playing off, like even 8-7 yards. And a called run play can instantly be turned into that smoke screen they do with Jordy on the far side. Rodgers just rises up and fires it to him. And Jordy gets 6-7 yards, sometimes 8 or 9. That's huge. Like, you don't think of that when you think of the highlights from a game, but that's massive.
Yeah.
If you can be playing consistently at 2nd and 3, 2nd and 2.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I say that, in the opening drive, they had one of these to Nelson where he got, like, it was 2nd and 1, and they ended up not making a 4th down.
But those are few and far between.
They are, exactly.
And this is a team that 3rd and 14, I don't get worried.
No, of course not.
Not in the fourth quarter, but it hasn't happened this year.
But here's the thing.
No, hold up.
Hold up.
This
uh-oh.
Year.
Uh-oh.
How crazy is that?
2011, this year, Packers, they've never lost.
No, it hasn't happened.
That's now, crazy.
Vic in the live blog brings up, not sure about Jordy being clear-cut number two receiver. When a couple weeks ago, he only had one catch. That was against Carolina Panthers. As I said, the Bronco game was the passing of the torch. I think we'll see more and more Jordy as we go along. Saw him a couple of times against the Bears. Saw him a whole bunch against the Broncos. I think I think he's going to have a monster game against the Falcons. It's just a hunch. It's just a feeling. But that's where I think it's going. But speaking of Randall Cobb, how can you keep this kid off the field?
I don't know.
How can you keep? I mean, every time he touches the ball, is it not just incredibly exciting? Like, he's so fast and he's so quick. And how great is it to see him, you know, on that? And they had the four all go. They had the I think it was a third down, but like they had, you know, just it was just all streaks,
all vertical,
all verticals, and he just catches the ball and he goes like 60 yards. Come on now. Come on now. Although I would have liked to see him get that in the end zone, but I'm not going to nitpick.
I mean, the variety, the diversity of plays.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Although I would like to know at what point defensive coordinators are going to get wise to the fact that when the Packers are near midfield in a power formation, get ready for McCarthy to take a shot. Like, he's been doing it since forever. There's a great play against, I think it was Atlanta, in Lambeau in 2008 or 9, where Driver caught a pass in between like three guys or something, or maybe it was two guys. But it was, again, it was from midfield, and he's been doing it, you know, all throughout. The entire time he's called plays for the Green Bay Packers. If you're near midfield, power formation, get ready. Mike's about to take a shot.
I mean, it's kind of a testament to this offense, though, that they probably know that.
That's probably true.
It's like the modern day equivalent of a Packer sweep. You know it's coming at you.
And you still can't stop it.
And there's nothing you can do to stop it.
I love that. I love it.
You know Aaron Rodgers is going to go deep. But you know what? You don't know to who.
And you don't know.
And you just double team Finley.
Yeah. What I love, though, that's the other thing. What I love is that huge, that touchdown to Nelson. He's double team. They got two guys. It's a two-man route. They've got two guys covering the guy on the left. They got two guys covering the guy on the right.
So?
And they still can't stop it. And it wasn't a trick play. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a flea flicker like the Broncos did. No. It was straight up play action pass, roll Rodgers right, and booyah.
Yeah,
touchdown.
There was no trickery.
I mean, I guess technically play action is deception. But it's just a straight up play. And boom, you can't stop it. Just interesting. Just interesting to me. What's also interesting to me, on the defensive side of the ball, we were talking about him with Rob, it's Mr. Morgan Burnett. Safety wunderkind, if you will. And I think Rob made a great point about he's young. He's only played, what, 8 NFL games. What they have to do is curb his aggressiveness. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous. You're on defense. You want to be aggressive. But you're the safety. You're a safety. You're the last line of defense.
Yeah.
You're a ball hawk safety. You got to go get it, but you got to be smart. You look at here we go. Corey just brought it up. This is the play. Watch Burnett. He's there on the top of your left-hand side of your screen. Watch. He can't make those steps. He cannot make those steps. He's got to be reading his keys. His keys are not the running back, I guarantee you. His keys are either the receiver position or the tight end position. Most likely, and on this kind of play, it's the wide receiver down below. Now, if he sees him, he just can't take those forward steps. He can't do it. You're the last line of defense. You are the deep safety. If you're the strong safety and you're up near the line like Pepper is, yes, please, by all means, go ahead, bite on it. But that free safety, you cannot do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that has but to be. That's coaching and
you
that's
learn.
Experience and you learn.
Look.
Now, what's interesting, what's concerning is that Colts preseason game where you'll remember Reggie Wayne being wide open. I mean wide open for a touchdown. Not exactly the same play, but similar in the sense that, you know, Burnett bit on something short. He bit on an out pattern. You cannot have those tendencies. You can be a ball hawk all you want from the free safety position.
Yeah.
You are the last line of defense unless it's like, you know, a blitz and it's you're playing man zero and you've got to take a guy. You're playing
you're the goalie.
Man coverage.
You're the goalie.
Yes.
Like, at the end of the day, it
that's
comes
your job.
Down
you
to
are the
you.
Last line of defense. So that's, to me, and you know what I was saying to Rob is that's the concern. That's the concern on defense. And I think more than anything, once they have a group in the secondary that plays together for a couple of weeks, I think you'll see some of this, not all of it, but some of it kind of dissipate as far as the
yeah.
stuff they're giving up in the passing game. What's more concerning to me is the pass rush. If you look at Clay Matthews this past week, he did get doubled a whole lot. He did get chipped a whole lot.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a whole lot happening elsewhere. In the last couple of weeks, there's been, you know, Matthews has gotten attention.
But do you think
and Jarius Wynn is sexy.
Okay. But do you think some of that is the injuries to the secondary forcing Dom Capers' hand to play a little bit safer than he normally
yes,
would?
Yes, I absolutely think that's part of it. I think you're seeing a lot more. I mean, you saw more base this past weekend than you have the entire season.
It's almost like we need to get the secondary back underneath us because last year, when we had the secondary,
right,
nobody could beat us.
Well, no. And the other thing is
nobody.
When they're forced
and,
to go.
Oh, and hold on.
Uh-oh.
Tremont.
Your boy.
Last week was amazing. That did help, too.
No, Tremont, you know, he played well. Still allowed plenty of yards, but I wrote the morning of the game that
what
he's
else
gonna,
did he
he's
do?
Gonna give up yards.
Yeah, that's hello. That's the cornerback position.
Right. Oh, and can I pick this nit in the local media here?
Oh,
Bob
no.
McGinn and his rating.
Bob McGinn
after the game said that Tremont Williams is not tackling well. Mm. I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. Who? What tape is he watching? No, I love Bob McGinn. I love Bob McGinn. But I'm sorry. You are flat out just seeing things if you don't think Tremont Williams is not tackling.
Are you kidding? No Nick Collins. A secondary somewhat in shambles.
They just need to play together. That's to me, that's the biggest thing. You see a lot of miscommunication back there.
Yeah,
they
and
just need to play together. They just need
fix.
To play.
Yeah, exactly.
They just need to play. Together as a unit. That, I think, will happen in time. But that's why I say, you know, that's why this the pass rush to me. And teams have played more base, putting bigger guys on the field for the Packers, such as Pickett, Howard Green, C.J. Wilson. They all played a lot more this past week, than they have previous. You put those guys in the field, you go max protect, you're not going to get a sniff of the quarterback. Now, what will be interesting is will the Falcons go that route? They finally started giving the ball to Michael Turner last week. But may I just point out, Travaris Flippin' Jackson threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns against
funny.
The Falcons last week.
That's funny.
300 yards and three touchdowns. Does that mean by my transitive property of NFL quarterbacks from suck to fantastic, I think that means that Aaron Rodgers will throw for 500 yards and 10 touchdowns.
There you go.
Against the Falcons on Sunday.
I would agree with that.
That's where I come down on that one.
I could definitely get behind it.
I mean, and the Falcons were a missed field goal away from losing that game. Are you kidding me?
John Rahor. Just quoted
the man,
Bob McGinn. Tremont Williams didn't resemble the player who played CB as well as anyone in the NFL last season. That was from his rating.
You know what he did look like? He looked exactly like he looked in the Miami game. He looked like he was giving a guy a lot of room because he's he's a really good receiver.
He looked like a really good cornerback.
And
to
he was
me.
Trying to.
I'm sorry.
He was trying to pick his spot to get a pick like he did against Miami. It just didn't happen against Denver. But I'm sorry. Saying he can't tackle, that's ridiculous. Oh, saying he hasn't tackled, he hasn't tackled well, that's ridiculous.
And he actually is somewhat formidable in the run game for a cornerback. Just FYI, Bob McGinn.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, he may have, like, okay, Williams may have had, like, a miss here or there. But to say he's not tackling on the season.
Dude, Craig Newsom had misses. Charles Woodson has misses.
Yep.
It's not about what you miss.
Well, sometimes it is. If you're giving up touchdowns and first downs.
If
and what have
it's
you.
Matt Hasselbeck,
Al
Harris interception into the end zone in the playoffs.
Holla.
Then I guess it is. But other than that, it shouldn't be.
Oh, no. So, Tremont Williams. I got no issues there. I got no issues there.
You just don't want to talk junk about Tremont Williams on the show.
If he gives me reason to talk junk, I'll talk it.
Oh, no.
Haven't seen it yet. Wait, oh. Did you just accuse me of Tremont Love? Did you, Corey Banky, just accuse me of Tremont Love?
Yeah, because you understand I won't tolerate it.
What? What? Talking junk about Tremont Williams?
Yeah.
I'll talk junk about anybody if they play poorly.
Exactly.
Sam Shields playing poorly.
Exactly.
Sam Shields benched
throwback weekend
for Jarrett Bush. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. That hurts my feelings.
Think about that.
Oh, it so hurts my feelings.
Let that sink in for a second. Sam Shields was so poor in his display of, quote, tackling on Sunday that the coaches turned to Jarrett Bush and said, Jarrett, you're in. And they pulled Sam Shields. And they said, what are you doing?
Oh, man.
Obviously, they put him back in. Obviously, he had the big interception. Obviously, he ran it back 60 yards. We're all very excited. Yada, yada, yada.
That was awesome.
He was awesome. And that's why you love Sam Shields. That's why you're so excited by his talent.
I was with Wally Pingle. Chicago, NFC Championship, Sam Shields. You got to believe in that kid. Okay,
I agree.
Packer fans.
I believe in him wholeheartedly. I just want him.
You got
to
believe.
I want him to believe in himself. That's what I want.
I want
the guy to want it. It doesn't look like he wants it. It looks like he like loves making plays like the big interception, which, by the way, he should never have run out of the end zone. I know. It's very exciting. Come at me, Packer fans. I know you're all going to say, Aaron's hating on Shields. Whatever. Should never have taken it out of the end zone. Great play, buddy. It's like the catch in Major League when, what's his name, catches the ball. And the manager says, great catch. Don't ever fucking do it again. Like, that's it. Great play, Sam. Don't ever freaking do it again.
Yeah, the coach means it.
Pick it off and get down. But that's what, you see that and you love it. Come on, that's great. Let's see more of that. Let's see you tackling. Let's see you want it. Let's see some heart.
Unless it's the end of the game, you should always run an interception out.
Dear. And fumble it and give it back to the other team on the 20.
No, I mean, you have to, like, listen and take sense of the situation and go, oh, there's five defenders on me and I'm in the end zone. Like, you know, you have to think about it, but you want a guy to have that instinct to be like,
I agree.
I'm gone.
I agree.
Give me this ball, and I'm gone.
And he almost was. He almost was gone. It was pretty fantastic. But I am just saying, in the tackling department, a little deficient. But that's just, that's a nitpick. Oh, my.
This week, in the Packer Blogosphere!
This week in the Packer Blogosphere! That's right, it's the return of that venerable series! Corey Banky's favorite moment of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been brought to our attention.
Ha 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 ha!
Some point this afternoon.
let's do it again. Because I love that intro.
It's been brought to our attention that one total Packers has employed the services.
Senior writer.
Senior legendary writer.
Oh, man.
J.C. Lombardi returns.
The return
of John Redfern, the legendary Packers blogger. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar.
You know that REM song that has the word Monty in it?
Yes.
That's Redfern. You know where I'm going
for
that.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Monty.
Oh, okay, so for those of you who are unaware, maybe have not been following along, not been playing along at home, J.C. Lombardi, as he calls himself, his real name is J.C. Redfern, he's insane, all right? He's kind of crazy, and he's taken it upon himself to call himself a legendary Packers blogger. Now, in his bio, he literally says this. He's a legendary Packer fan from the days of Lombardi through blogging. Like, he's been, the intimation is that he's been blogging since Lombardi was coach. I love that. Love that. But.
Oh, by the way.
Aside from that. Sorry. Aside from that. Dick Chang'ong!
Sorry.
I love how the show just like, totally devolves into nothingness towards the last 15
I had to
minutes.
Do that. It was I saw it on the live blog and I wanted to do it.
I hear you.
J.C. Lombardi.
So J.C. Lombardi took it upon himself to take shots at us, members of our staff, a whole bunch of other stuff, constantly belittles all of our efforts along with the efforts of lots of the Packer blogosphere, which... goodness knows, we've been known to do from time to time. However, we usually back it up with, like, you know, so-and-so said X, we think Y. J.C. Lombardi just says that these people are idiots and they all need to shut up. That's kind of his M.O. So after all of this, you know, it's kind of fun. He's kind of crazy. He's kind of stupid. Whatever. We let it, you let it slide. Like, hey, man, you got your blog. That's great. Then he took it upon himself to start plagiarizing people.
Nice. I liked when that happened.
He literally took entire articles from Jason Wilde. Entire articles from Jason Wilde and posted them as his own work on various blogs. He wrote for a couple different people. So after a lot of, great, detective work, I could say, I guess, lots of shoe leather, pounding of the pavement, if you will, by a couple of people on our staff and also Jersey Al.
Yes.
Kind of spearheaded the movement.
The legend.
Along with Alex Talish.
The legend
with
himself.
Us, and Jamie Jors, who joins us here tonight. They kind of let people know, the people in charge of these sites, that Jason Lombardi is a total idiot, and look, he's plagiarizing Wilde, and what are you doing employing him? So all these sites, like, let him go. And now Monty... over at Total Packers,
Monty
has brought him on board to do like grades after each game. So, people, tweet Monty. He's at Total Packers. Let him know. J.C. Lombardi is just bad news, and he should be nowhere near the Packers blogosphere. He's an old crazy man who just needs to go into hibernation and, like, seriously, he's, like, written books and stuff. You can look it up. It's great. John Redfern. Look it up.
Oh.
Crazy man.
Can we... Can we talk about Throwback Weekend, Packer
Throwback
fans?
Throwback Weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it,
okay.
Corey.
Once we're 5-0, knock on wood.
Holla.
Once we're 5-0, Throwback Weekend, we got some craziness lined up. Seriously. The Abbey, Saturday night. Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I say that with a straight face. The Abbey, okay?
Right.
Tailgate, Packer fans, Sunday, 8 a.m. Come on.
8 a.m.
And there's going to be some craziness. There's going to be food. There's going to be beer. You're going to bring your own beer. And there's going to be beer. Because that's
so
the way we
generally
roll.
What we're saying is beer.
Beer, brats, Packer fans,
one of the largest gatherings Cheesehead TV has had ever in the history of Cheesehead TV. And that's all.
See, you say that, and they'll be like, that's all. People will show up, there'll be like four people.
Like, that would out. Still be the most.
The biggest ever. The biggest Five. Ever. A lot of people, I've gotten a lot of people asking if I'll be at Throwback Weekend. I will not at this point, although there's an outside chance I'll be there. But at this point, doesn't look like it. Just a lot of stuff.
Don't tease us.
A lot of real life stuff going on that just makes it precludes my
real life,
my being there. But I'll be there in spirit. I really hope you all have a fantastic time. And
Packers
Corey,
life is so much cooler than real life.
Tell me about it, and Corey. Yeah. I'm insanely jealous of these tickets right here. I can't believe you got those,
dude,
there.
I'll get you tickets. Come on.
You need to stop. You just need to stop right now.
I keep trying to bribe him, but
I know you do. You do. Should we should we take some phone calls? I know you love it when we do.
I'm scared.
Come on now. Come on, people. All right. Should we throw up the number?
Okay.
Do you have the number? Do we know what the number is? Yeah. Hey, Josh Sitton, if you're watching, buddy, give us a call. It's not too late. I'm going to tweet this out. It's not too
People are going to say, hey, Corey, the battery needs to be changed on that camera.
I saw that.
It actually does.
I didn't want to mention it, but. Look, I love it. Now, this is riveting webcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
It really
We're
is.
Both tweeting right now. That's all right.
I think that's
so
the
call,
number.
So call 646-797-2909. You know what? This is also a momentous occasion. In that
this is the last
Packer transplants ever in this here space. How about that? How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Corey Behnke moving to Chelsea next week. We will be, I guess, maybe perhaps in the Google headquarters in Livestream Studios next week.
Maybe.
Might be 2 weeks from now. Who knows? We don't know. But this is the last time ever. We started Packer Transplants in this room.
It's kind of sad.
And now, 94 episodes later, shutting her down. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Maybe next time we'll webcast from Lambeau Field.
Nah, that's never going to happen.
Might look like it, though.
Dude, see, here's the other problem. Everyone's watching the Brewers. I didn't want to say anything, but
I know
the Brewers are playing.
I got to give it up for the Brewers.
Hey,
still holding
mad
on.
Props, Brew Crew. I hey man, I'm
gotta
old school.
Love the Brewers.
I love Robin Yount. I love Paul Molitor. Cecil Cooper is my all-time favorite. So I got a special spot.
If
in
there's
my heart
one, if there's one time the to talk crew. About the Brewers, it's when it's the playoffs. So
even Jamie admitted she's watching both.
Yeah,
you know, so that's fine.
I'm not.
That's
I mean,
fine.
I love the Brewers, but I love the Packers. I'm sorry.
Max says the correct answer. There's a baseball game on?
There you go.
That is the correct answer, young man.
There you go.
Anyway, so Packers 4-0 going into Atlanta. And I'm sorry. They're just in lieu. We don't have Brian Caravu tonight because he's watching the Brewers. You know, I'm going to give a prediction.
Uh-oh.
Packers 78, Falcons, -3. And that's it. I'm going to leave you with that. 78 to -3. Packers okay. win. They go 5-0 to set up a epic throwback weekend brought to you by Cheesehead TV. Check out the infos on the site, cheeseheadtv.com. I really hope you can all join Corey and the gang there in Green Bay.
It's going to be insane.
It is going to be off the hook. And that, my friends, will do it for this week's edition of Packer Transplants. Big thanks to Rob Domofsky for coming on. No thanks to Josh Sitton. I know you're busy, buddy. I'd like to thank everyone for showing up on the live blog. And for those of you who download this later or listen to it on the site,
thank you
so much. No, probably. Thank you. Thank you for showing up. No. Thank you for being part of Cheesehead TV. You guys are what makes this a unique experience for everyone. Really, seriously, you people, you guys and gals, you're why we do this. Thank you so much. That's why Corey and I are here. Seriously.
That's pretty much the only reason.
We are, and we always will be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thank you so much. We'll see you either next week or the week after, depending on Corey's living situation.
Yeah, we'll see.
But Packer Transplants will be back.
Hopefully next week.
And Packers will be 5-0 here at CheeseheadTV.com.
Market zero.